also over here, probably one of the taller ones, you might be able to see it from here, is Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is buried like five rows in or so. You see? Oh, he's right here? The tall one. You can see the name Yaakov all the way from here. So you'll go in afterwards. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, I mean, we all know about Rabbi Yaakov. I know I grew up always hearing Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Moshe. Those were the Gedolim when I grew up. There was Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Moshe. They were like Shutvim. They had a tremendous amount of Derech Eretz for each other. Rabbi Tendler, Ushnevar, for Shlema. Rabbi Tendler tells the story how Rabbi Moshe used to always come to his house in Muncie. And whenever Rabbi Moshe would come to his house in Muncie, Rabbi Yaakov would come to visit. But there was like a certain European Derech Eretz that they had for each other, that Rabbi Moshe wasn't just going to say goodbye to Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yaakov would leave. He walked him home. So he'd walk Rabbi Yaakov back to his house in Muncie. But Rabbi Yaakov wasn't going to just say goodbye to Rabbi Moshe when he got back home. So he'd walk Rabbi Moshe all the way back to Rabbi Tendler's house. And they could be walking back and forth all day, because neither one, until Rabbi Tendler had to step in, I'll walk him home. You know, like they had to, because they had such kavod for each other. The story I always heard growing up, because I went to the South Shore Yeshiva locally, obviously, which was started by Rabbi Benjamin Kamenetsky, which is really amazing, the influence that Rabbi Yaakov had on the five towns. I mean, his son built, you know, together with Rabbi Pelkowitz and a few others, really built the entire community. So the story that I always heard growing up is right before I started in South Shore, because I moved in when I was in second grade. I only moved into the yeshiva when I was in third grade. But a couple of years prior to that, Rabbi Yaakov had visited the yeshiva. And the story is in the biography that he walked by a kindergarten classroom and he saw the mezuzah was very low so that they could be mechanich, the children, to touch the mezuzah and kiss the mezuzah on the way into the classroom. And Rabbi Yaakov said, no. That's not how we do chinuch. We don't bring the mezuzah down to the child. You put a step stool there, you bring the child up to the mezuzah. And that was seen, that was taken by Rabbi Binyamin and through Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky now at Ayom as a message of uplifting children. We don't bring the Torah down, we bring the children up to be able to strive, to be able to see godless in Torah and try to strive for greater godless in Torah. Rabbi Yaakov, they say, never told a lie in his entire life. He took his name very seriously. And that's why the name of his svarim are Emes Li Yaakov. The Midah of Yaakov is Emes. So he took that very, very seriously. They say that if he would say something and it wasn't yet, you know, it wasn't yet true, then I think the story was with Gebrux, that he was somewhere where they asked him, whether he wanted to eat something, and he maybe didn't trust the kashrus so much. I don't remember the exact story. So he said, "No, I don't eat Gebrux." You know, that was, and then for the Litvashar Shiva doesn't, for the rest of his life, he wouldn't eat Gebrux, because once he said it, then it had to be true. There's a similar story, a true story, about Marenu Rav Shechter Shlita. I remember when Rav Shechter was at my house, Rav Shai told me, offer him tea, ask him if he wants sugar, and when he tells you no, ask him why. So I said, okay, this sounds like a game, but I'll do it. So I offered him tea. I said, Rebbe, do you want sugar? He said, no. I said, why not? Which sounds like a really crazy question to ask somebody when they say no. He said, because when I was younger, my wife and I didn't have any children. And he started to cry, because that's how he always starts when he talks about how he didn't have children when he was younger. He said he went to Eretz Yisrael to get brachos from all of his father-in-law's chaverim, who are all the Gedolei Torah in Eretz Yisrael. And they also visited a cousin of his. And the cousin wasn't so religious. And the cousin offered him a tea. And he figured, okay, you can't go wrong with tea. And the cousin said, would you like any sugar? And he started to think to himself, I don't know about Trumas and Maestros. I don't know if I can trust this cousin. So he said, no, I don't take sugar in my tea. So since when he was 26 years old, he said that he doesn't take sugar in his tea. For the rest of his life, he doesn't take sugar in his tea. It reminded me of a very similar to this story of Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov was known as a person of deep, they say that Ramesha was the Paisek Hadar, Rabbi Yaakov was the Pikeach Hadar. Every once in a while you'll meet someone who's not only a great Talmud Chacham, but you get the sense that even if Chas V'Shalom, they would lose all of their Torah learning, they would still probably be the wisest person that you would know. Just this intuitive sense of people, of understanding people, understanding their matzav, and Rabbi Yaakov was known for that. Almost to the point that people so focus on that that they forget his godless Batorah. He also rarely showed off his godless Batorah. In his daily shiur, he gave a shiur that was pashut. You know, he gave Gemara Rashi Tosfos. He wasn't trying to... And one day, the story goes, it's in the biography also, I think, one day Rabbi Yaakov came into yeshiva, and he said a shiur that was like, wow, you know, like all the bachim were waiting for this shiur. It was like, you know, with bringing from Rishonim and Achronim all over the place, making connections and doing, and the bachim were like so excited, finally, you know, they wanted to learn by Rabbi Yaakov, but it was kind of boring, as he would just go through Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and, you know, basic Rishonim. So they went over to him, they said, Rebbe, what was so different today? Why was the shiur so different? He said, I was at a chasna last night, I didn't have time to prepare. So that's why shiur was so different today. Meaning he prepared how to teach pshat, he prepared how to teach the Gemara properly, that they should know, that the Bachram should know how to read the Gemara. We're gonna say Kapitel Memtes.